magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, July 1st, 2019. It's Memorization Monday. We're going to do it on Monday this time, Marianne.
We are back on track.
Back on track. Last Monday, you know, because of being off the air and all the different technical issues we had, we did Memorization Monday on Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday.
On Wednesday or whenever.
Wednesday. Yeah, we
worked
it all
in.
So we're back on track, everyone, and we're excited. You know how God sometimes orchestrates, or you have those divine appointments?
Lots of times.
Well, Marianne and I, we were going to host the Memorization Monday. We didn't have a guest scheduled. Well, the Reverend Pastor Bob from next door, Bob Freeman from the United Methodist Church of Urbana, he walks by with an individual, kind of waves. I wave, come on in. We start talking, and it's like, hey, Marianne, let's have this gentleman, Paul, who is a missionary and working for the Lord in a lot of unique ways. I think he could be a part of our Memorization Monday.
Yeah.
So, Paul, welcome to our studios. I guess you're just in for one day. You have a mutual friend with the Rev, Bob Freeman. You work for American Airlines, so you could work it out. So you flew in for one day to see him, and here you are, and you're going to be a part of our program today. So
that is exactly right. And, yeah, it's wonderful to be with you. This is certainly a bit of unusual timing for opportunity for me to share what it is and what you do and how you do it. But really glad to meet you and glad to be with you, Marianne, and your studio audience.
Yeah, we feel like it's not only a divine appointment, but we're swapping a lot of stories. And you said something to Marianne about peanut butter soup. And Marianne's like, yeah. So you have some African roots serving there as a missionary and then a missionary to Papua New Guinea. I think you said 7 or 11 or 12, a number of years. And so we'll maybe touch on some of those things. But first, we're going to do our memory verse for everyone. And for those of you that have been following along, this is our 18th week, our 18th verse. It's 1 John 5:15. Now, last week we did 1 John 5:14. So maybe I'll do them both together.
They do kind of go together.
They go together well. So 1 John 5:14, last week's verse. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And that was a great one. We're talking about how wonderful it is that we can approach God and that we can be confident in that relationship, that he allows us to approach him, that he lets us approach him, and that if we ask some things of him, we pray to him, and if it's according to his will, he delights in answering that. So it was kind of exciting to talk through the fact that we can approach this holy, awesome, all-powerful, all-knowing God, that he's personal enough to care about our needs and our requests, and if it's according to his will, and his will is always perfect and wonderful, he'll answer us. So we can take great confidence in that. So that was a great verse last week. But this week's verse, which follows after 1 John 5:14, it's 1 John 5:15. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have whatever we ask of him. It's kind of a tongue twister, but basically it's saying if we know he hears us, and we know he hears us because he's God and he's a good God and he listens to us, that if we ask of him, we know that we'll have whatever we ask of him. So he'll confirm it as long as it's according to his will and it's to, you know, further his kingdom purposes, if it's going to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He delights in answering those kind of requests. So 1 John 5:15 is our verse for the week. Hopefully it's one that you're going to cling to, that you're going to let saturate your mind and heart as you think about God and his word and his plan and purpose for you, to love on you and to use you to proclaim that good news message. And so as is our pattern on Mondays, we read from 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. And this program, along with our other 17 programs with the verses, are all archived on Mondays, except for last week. It was Tuesday.
It's archived, but not on Monday.
And then our interview with Robert J. Morgan was a few months back. But if you miss a broadcast or you want to listen to it again or send it to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org and go to our archive programs page, greatnewsradio.org.
Okay, number 18, 1 John 5:15. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked him for. The Bible is full of facts about prayer. It's the world's greatest textbook on the subject. Here, near the end of Scripture, are two verses that seem to sum up the subject, 1 John 5:14 and 15. Notice the sustained repetition that drives this passage into our hearts. This is the confidence. We know, whenever we ask, whatever we ask, anything according to his will. He hears, we have. Archbishop Trich said, we must not conceive of prayer as an overcoming of God's reluctance, but as a laying hold of his highest willingness. It's great to pray spontaneously throughout the day, before meetings, at stressful times, prior to responding in tense situations, but we need a regular time each morning and or evening for a daily scheduled appointment with God. There we praise him, confess our sins to him, and bring to him our needs. God often says yes to our requests. Sometimes it's no or wait, but this is our confidence. He hears. He hears. We know. We have. When God says no, Abraham earnestly prayed that Ishmael would become the son of promise and the heir of his legacy. But God said no. He had something better, a line of descent through the boy Isaac. Moses earnestly prayed to cross the River Jordan with the children of Israel. But God said no. He had a younger leader named Joshua and a better promised land for the aged Moses. David prayed earnestly for the joy of building a temple to the Lord, but God said no. He had something better, for David to plan the project and for his son Solomon to do the work. Jonah prayed earnestly that he would die, but God said no. He had something better, for Jonah to learn the lessons of compassion and write it down in a book that would thrill the ages, and I will add. And he also had the purpose for Nineveh to repent and turn to him.
Yeah.
I just say that myself. The healed demoniac in Mark 5 prayed that he could travel around as a disciple of Jesus of Nazareth, but the Lord said no. He had something better, that he go home to his friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for him and had shown him mercy.
Hey, that's a little segue. We're going to have you, Paul, share a little of some of the unique things God is doing in your life that will demonstrate God's mercy and love for people around the world.
Sure.
The Apostle Paul prayed earnestly to be healed from his disease, which he described as a thorn in the flesh. But God said no. He had something better for Paul to discover the all-sufficiency of his grace. Jesus prayed earnestly that the cup of suffering would pass from him. But God said no. He had something better, that a fountain would be opened for all the world for the forgiveness of sin. Okay, and here's a quote from Adoniram Judson, who was actually, if not the, one of the first missionaries the United States of America ever sent anywhere. 1830s.
You just pulled that out. This is not recorded here. How'd you come up with the 1830s?
I looked up the 1830s, but I knew who Adoniram Judson was.
Oh, okay.
I never prayed sincerely for anything, but it came at some time, somehow, in some shape. Adoniram Judson.
This was interesting. Last week we talked a little about how God answers prayers like yes, no, or maybe, or wait, or I have something better for you.
Yeah.
And this one he recorded how many times God says no because he has something better.
Right.
So that's a reminder that a no from God generally is the best thing that you can receive because you don't want him always to answer the prayers the way you want because he has something better. So he's saying no, and it's not saying no because he's punishing you. He's saying no because he has something better, or you need to grow through this, or you need to learn through this experience, or I have a more complete understanding of what's going to happen, so it needs to be no, but you'll understand my child. You know, I'm a good God. I'll take care of you. So, Paul, you've experienced a lot of life of God taking care of you and your wife, Wendy, and your four children, I believe. In fact, I think you said, were all four of your children born in Africa or Papua New Guinea?
In Papua New Guinea.
Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all have unique stories of, in the midst of Wendy, the birthing process or whatever, there's tribal wars going on. We can't get to the hospital because of such and such, and so they're not born out in the bush, but not under the ideal conditions
it
or circumstances.
It was close. It was very close.
So you're serving the Lord for a number of years. You're working for American Airlines right now, but you seem like God's using you in a number of unique ways. You're going to be traveling back to Papua New Guinea, I believe.
Talk
in
to
a nutshell,
us.
So what's the Lord up to in your life?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you again for the opportunity, and this is truly of God, and I'm just so grateful to be able to share what He is doing in this world, that He is so much at work using me, using us as instruments of His ministry of bringing reconciliation and so on to the people. Like you said, grew up in East Africa. My father and mother and us six kids, I'm going to include us, as missionaries.
That's great. Good.
Yep. And Dad being a medical missionary, and Mom and us six kids, just God, even before I was genuinely saved, put a mission call on my life. And I thank Him for all eternity for having done that. So we were in Tanzania, East Africa, early 60s, and then we moved back to the U.S. for just a year or two, and then back out on the field again to Papua New Guinea. And there I fell in love with a nation.
Mm.
And God wrote that island nation on my heart.
That's beautiful.
And I'm so absolutely thankful for that. It isn't so much what I imparted to that nation as what it imparted into my life. And it was definitely a God thing. Yeah.
This is wonderful for me to hear about Papua New Guinea because my father went there.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
And so I'm all ears.
Oh, good.
Just keep talking. And it's so remarkable for me to meet someone who was a child in like 1963 and in Africa. Those were very different days, and I just love hearing your stories and just keep talking.
And you were both in Africa at
the same
time.
Yeah, we were. 1963, we were both there.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You in Rhodesia and myself in Tanganyika, now Tanzania.
Now Tanzania.
Yeah.
And Rhodesia now. Zimbabwe.
Yep. And I grew up being fluent in Swahili and Kishambala, and and pity that you learn so quick and easy as a child.
Right.
Yeah. I will say something about praising God in Swahili or Kimbisha. Say,
Amefufuka kweli.
Praising. Wonderful.
The Lord is risen.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about.
We serve a living God.
Tell us about your heart for Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, it's a nation that I fell in love with when I was there, even before I was genuinely saved. I was a product of the church, but hadn't a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That came in a high school experience after that first Papua New Guinea mission. I began a little college preparatory school in Minneapolis called Minnehaha Academy. It was a school of the Evangelical Covenant Church. And a pastor came and shared the gospel, and I just knew in my heart of hearts that whatever it was he had, I needed. And I sought him out after the service, and he led me to Jesus, and my life changed completely. And then, of course, that upbringing in the church, not having known the Lord, things fell into place.
Right.
They all made sense.
Many people will say that I tried to read the Bible and I couldn't really understand it, and then they had the personal relationship with God, asked Jesus into their heart, and they sensed the Holy Spirit now helps me. I'm looking
Revelation
at it with new
comes.
Lenses, and things make sense, and there's now healthy conviction and hope. And I love reading the Bible, and it's because they had that true experience of following Jesus, surrendering to Him, asking the Holy Spirit to open their eyes to spiritual truths, and the Bible comes alive. So
Amen.
That happens to you. Now, how shortly after that did you feel, Lord, I think I'm called to serve the people of Papua New Guinea? And when we say serve, somebody's like, what, do you open up a restaurant? What do you serve? Where you have a heart for them to know the good news message of Jesus, right?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So how did that take place?
It was always there. Since I lived there, I became so much a part of Papua New Guinea. Of course, being a young teenager, all my friends were running around without shirts and shoes, so I had to strip down, and off to the jungle I went.
Yeah.
And
it.
I literally did. We were doing a correspondence course through the University of Nebraska, as we mentioned earlier, and I could do a whole lot of work in one day, and then off to the jungle I would go. And I'd live with the people, and I really became a part of a village and a part of a family there.
Wow.
But it had always been on my heart. I just fell in love with that nation, and I knew from that very beginning when we were there that this would be a nation I would go and serve. And in serving, boy, they blessed me. They blessed me. They blessed my family.
Now, what's it like? You know, I can only imagine, but you're out in the jungle. You're wanting to be a witness for Jesus. You know, you read His word. How do you begin sharing? Was there a thirst? Was there a hunger? Did they see a difference in you? Or was there like an awareness? Yeah, there's some kind of God or something, but we've not understood who Jesus is. I'm thinking somebody's tuned in now. They've not heard that there's a loving God that cares for them. them. Maybe they're international students that are in, or maybe they just grew up without a church experience. So they're, now, what are these three talking about? Having a relationship with God, or what do the people in Papua New Guinea, what did they get that you saw a difference?
Well, interestingly enough, they're a far more spiritual people than we find ourselves here in America.
Yeah.
Much like Africa, they've come out of an animistic background where they're very, very aware of spiritual realities.
Yes, they are.
And not all of them good realities.
Right.
The darkness, they're very well of a personal enemy, the demonic, witchcraft, etc., very, very alive and rife there. And for them to embrace a God that loves them, different, but so welcome, so absolutely welcome. And this God who is found in the person of Jesus Christ, his son, is understood in what Jesus has done to win us back. And I've often shared with people, because I've also lived a few other places. I did some studies in Germany. I lived in Australia a couple of years, 17 in Papua New Guinea, the Kingdom of Tonga. So, and I've really traveled to about 60 different nations, and you know, Christianity is unlike all the world's religions in that people are striving. I've watched them in Taiwan, for example, spinning their prayer wheels and burning prayer money in an effort to find God.
Mm-hmm.
Our God came to find me and to find us.
I love
in
that.
In the person of Jesus.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That is the gospel message.
It makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. We returned some time back. We're now part of the U.S. in the American culture here, and I ache for this island nation. I still love it, and God has been opening doors for me to go down both to Papua New Guinea and the Solomon Islands. But in a sense, it's been a challenge for me, and I kind of find myself as a reverse Jonah. You mentioned Jonah earlier, but Jonah didn't want, and I do.
Oh.
I so long to go back, and I hurt to share the message that I love so much to a people that I love, to a nation that I love, to a call that I love. And God has been making a way, but for the time being, I've been here.
Well, I know you pulled one of our little booklets that we have at the front. I don't know if you could even call this a booklet. It's a little personal Bible, verses of comfort, assurance, and salvation. And one of our listeners, I can't think of who it was, they came by with a few packs of these. And I know it's something that you want to take in the thousands. You would like to have many of these to hand out, a very simplistic way of sharing the good news message of Jesus. So say somebody's tuned in, they have a heart for Papua New Guinea, or they just are kind of encouraged by your story and message and want to be a part of that. Is there a way they could donate $50 and purchase, you know, 1,000 of these little booklets that you would hand out? Or what would be a way for somebody to get in touch with you?
Absolutely, there would be. And I look and long to give away something you can leave in somebody's hands, and they can take it back to their homes or villages and share it with their entire family. And this is uniquely Scripture.
Yeah.
And Scripture, of course, we know is living and active. It's absolutely alive, and it bears fruit. But I have been looking to bring back gospel messages, tracts, and so on. I've even written a couple myself, something that's in simple English and with pictures, because it's an oral, pictorial people that are down
there.
And so, something that they could read and see and understand and know the gospel.
How would people go about contacting you to help out?
Thank you so much just for asking. It really excites me. And Marianne and Mark, if anybody would like to get in touch with me, my email is paulfugle, paulfugle, @gmail.com. And my phone number is 701-866-3264.
Okay, one more time.
701-866-866.
I'm writing this down for y'all, and you can always call the station. You know our number, 217-367-7777. Karen will have this information if you can't write it down, but 701-866-3264. You can give Paul a call. You can find out more, and if you have a heart for Papua New Guinea, or for that matter, for the expansion of God's kingdom work in a foreign country, and even just the witness that Paul has with us here today and to Reverend Bob next door and those you interact with American Airlines and such. We'll ask our listeners to be praying for you, Paul, and the work that you're doing, and for your heart for the people of Papua New Guinea. and just some other things. I know you said off here that God's opening up some other doors of opportunity with National Geographic and other things that you're saying. We all say, like, Lord, use me in whatever situations. Whatever we do, work at it with all our hearts is working for the Lord, not for men. So open up those opportunities and let the fragrance of Christ be evident to all.
Well, I'm very touched, Paul. I really mean it. I just hope that people can understand you have the heart for Papua New Guinea. If we just get behind you, that you will know what to do. And, you know, looking at this little booklet, Mark, here in America, we've got all this literature and this stuff and these pictures and books, and these people in Papua New Guinea, they don't have it. Yeah. Let's get it there.
Would I be okay to just make an offering to possibly your listening audience? I mentioned earlier I developed a couple tracks to myself there. Kind of wild and crazy things happen in the land that they call Land of the Unexpected, or Every Place You've Never Been, which is, of course...
These are the names of your two tracks, or your track?
Nope, very true of the tourism slogans of Papua New Guinea.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I've also been going to the Solomon Islands, but I've had a fair few experiences that I mentioned earlier that I had put on kind of a digital voice format that I hope to turn into a book someday, but they included getting held up, shot at, guns put to my head, into my body a few times, and I've turned those into tracts. They're well suited for our culture here, and I would love to share that. If anybody would like to write and say, would you send me a copy, and then they would have the freedom to duplicate that if they chose
to. So give your email again. And then the phone number, and I'll make sure Karen has it, because many people are driving to work or out and about and maybe didn't get the information down. But for those of you, grab the pencil, get ready to write this down, and you can always call our station, and Karen will have this information so you can support the unique work that Paul's doing in Papua New Guinea and, for that matter, throughout the world and up in Minnesota. So what's your phone number and email address one more time?
Phone number is 701-866-3264. And the email is Paul Fugel, PAULFUGLE, at gmail.com. And I can leave a copy of this also with you, so if your listening audience would like to write you, you'd be welcome to forward that on.
Right. This is one of those times I wish we were not out of time, Mark.
Yeah, we're out of time. SR News won't wait. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
Lord bless you, folks. And thanks, Mark and Marianne.